There are some stories in the Bible and elsewhere that just take you to certain places and certain times. If I had my way, and it wasn't quite so breezy outside right now, I think that this is a story that would be best done around a campfire. Both because it literally has a campfire in it, but because it's the right setting and notion and time for this encounter with Jesus and the disciples. After Jesus was raised, he comes time and again in all these different places and all these different times and gives the disciples new things and new jobs and new ideas. Let's hear this story together. This is John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. A personal favorite, if I say so myself. After these sins, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, along with two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got in a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there was so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And Simon Peter heard it was the Lord. He put on some clothes for it. He was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not that far from land, only about 100 yards out. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of your fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went on board and hauled the nets ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have some breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and did the same for the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. There's something about the moment of newness, that moment of being already but not yet. There's always excitement and anticipation with just a pinch or a cup or two of dread, depending on the situation. Every time that I've taken up something new, it's always been the same. Reading what's been left behind, but also anticipating what is about to be. I think about it when I moved from here and there. It's always the same rhythm because you have to pack up and leave behind those things that have been good friends and relationships and things done and undone, but then to step out and to do something new and to be anticipating something new. So you're both doing a little bit of grieving and a little bit of excitement at the same same time. I'm glad to have been able to know this and to experience this every time I've found a new home. But that doesn't stop me from wondering from time to time what it might be like to not have my roots quite so broadly and frequently planted. It's not bad, it's just one of those things of you wonder, well, what would it be like if my life were different? There's always, in this time, there's always a familiar pattern of getting settled and getting started and doing things new. And what I find myself doing is always going back to what I know, to what's tradition, and just going around and trying to find a routine as quickly as I possibly can. It's this critical period of expectation and the possible that we're doing. I think this is the period that we find the disciples in right now. I think it's the period that we're in right now. I think we're in a bit of a transition. And it's part of the language of the new normal and all the rest and everything else that's out there. And in some cases that's going to apply, in some cases it's just not. But it's also a little bit disconcerting. It's vulnerable and it's there. And usually at this time is when we try our very best to pretend that we're not disconcerted when exactly we are, and probably everyone else is too. Because we'd much rather appear to be competent and in control, and then that's what so early say, yeah, this is a little bit weird. I think this is why we need to come and visit the disciples in this place and this time this morning. Because they're in that moment too, of new and different. They're somewhat at odd ends. They've met the Lord, they've seen him a couple of times in different places and different times. But they're not quite sure what to do yet. They're not quite sure how to proceed. And I love this story in John exactly because of that, because it's this moment of raw humanity where they're just hanging out and trying to do what comes naturally. If you don't know what to do with yourself, what do? Well, you go fishing, because they're fishermen. They had spent their time together. They were trying to figure out what all this new stuff meant. And they just come to the point of saying, look, let's just go and do what we do. And in doing that, they're met along the way. It's into this situation that Jesus comes to them. He comes to them in the midst of their confusion, in the midst of their uncertainty, in the midst of their uncertain misunderstanding. And he comes to them in the most innocuous way possible. Children, you have no fish, do you? Envision the ensuing eye roll. A morning visitor on the beach with some technical fishing advice calls out to these people who've just been through the most gut-wrenching, confusing, befuddling experiences of their lives and simply says, hey, how's the fishing? Have you ever thought going out the other side of the boat? But it's in Jesus' quiet words and simple meal and impressive means that their eyes are opened to a whole new world after this. John goes on to explain at this very meal, this is where Jesus charges them and gives them new names and new jobs, and this is where he you have this transition between the disciples to the apostles, to the people who follow, to the people who go out and seek to tell the good news time and again. Even when what they knew was failing, and all they're giving new duties and new realities of being fishers of all, and their lives change. Jesus shows up, reveals himself, and changes everything. Not with glowing lights and bright spectacles or peace be with you. No. Come. Have some fish. Let's have some breakfast. Come and eat. And know who I am in the ordinary routine of what you already knew. Come and sit. Rest in the holy. Sit down and know who I am in the midst of all that's going on, all that you see and all that you wonder, and simply know that I am God. I wonder if that is the invitation that we are getting in this season too. This is a season of newness. And sometimes it's the revolutionary changes of old, but sometimes it's also simply the reality of change that is present with us. And this applies regardless of the time or the state of the world. Change is always with us. New is always here. We're always adapting. That's part of life. It's part of who we are. It's in these states of transition floods that we're forced out of our predetermined way of being, that we are often given moments to be surprised with the holiness of where we find Jesus, even here, even now, even where we may not be looking for him, where we may not be expecting him, where we may not be embracing him. The trick is that oftentimes when it's new, we're least inclined to look for the familiar or the holy. We find the holy in our traditions and our stability and our competence. But oftentimes the holy also shows up when we're not sure, when we don't know what to do, when we're ready to be surprised. I know that that's been my case time and again. There's a much about this word that even with years of experience is all about simply going and showing up and being surprised. And it's one of the great privileges simply to be surprised at what you find and where you find Jesus saying, come, sit. Have some fish. We seek stability lest we be discovered. Jesus invites us into the one stability that matters. That he will be there, that we will be provided for, and we will be changed. I wonder, how might we be being invited to cast our nets in a different way, even now? This may not be the time to step out, to be looking for signs, or to consider doing anything different than what we know. But in these times, as in all times, God comes to us and changes us and encounters us and embraces us and invites us into the simple grace of being met in love and peace and knowing that God is God and we are not, and that is good. God is calling into our occupied lives, offering blessing if we would but hear, if we would but pause, if we would but see something new and be ready to receive what is offered. in the form that we find it, in the way that we encounter it, even if it's something that we may or may not expect. I want to give you a challenge for this week. It's fairly simple. No matter where you find yourself, how you find yourself, where, no matter what you think about the world right now, spend some time looking for the holy. Expect Jesus. Look for it, read for it, embrace it, open yourself to it, and prepare yourself to encounter the Lord, and prepare yourself to be blessed. And I'm guessing that in that preparation and in that anticipation, you may find something that will be surprising to you. You won't hear me often saying, prepare to be blessed or look to be blessed, simply because that's not the language I often use. It's not because I don't think the blessing abounds, but simply because it's been used in ways that I don't think are all that great. But still, there are times where we do well to simply come and say, Jesus, here we are. Come. What would you have us do? Where would you have us put our nets? How would you have us row ashore yet again? We want stability on our terms. Yet we know that stability and regularity is what God supplies, giving us what we need when we need it, not necessarily as we anticipate it, but only as we need it. I invite you to look for God this week, and you might be surprised what you find along the way. A kind word might be more than just a nicety. It could become the welcome of the Lord. An opportunity to show love is not simply another request and a demanding schedule, but a call to cast our net on the other side. The opportunity to simply do and be and rest might be not be an imposition, but rather an invitation to something new. Look for the Lord, and he will be found. May we, in all of our stages of life, new and old, and all the transitions and circumstances, be open and ready to the welcome of the Lord, who comes and bids us eat, sit, and receive the love of the living Christ, and gives us what we need, whether or not we have caught a single fish. May we be able to know the voice of Christ calling us to love, to newness, and to hope. Amen.